lots to be thankful for this holiday season, even with the challenges tied to lava inundation and the recent storms. HBR's Kuve Hirishi joins us with the rocky road ahead for a Big Island charter school.
That's right. Good morning, Catherine. I went recently to go visit Kualkala Public Charter School. So this is a Native Hawaiian charter, a focused charter school that was in the area and did lose their home over in Pualaa, so right across from the Warm Springs, if you've ever been to Ahalanui in Puna. Completely 600-acre property, maybe 300, 200 or 300 acres of that actively used, completely covered in lava. So that happened in May, late May, and they were scrambling over the summer to try to figure out where to house a little over 200 students. And so right now they're spread out over three separate campuses in Hilo and Puna. So they've got preschool, elementary, middle school, and high school. So I had a chance to tour their elementary school, which is currently at the Nanimal Gardens. If anybody's ever been to Punaewa, they've got sort of this U-shaped building, nice parking lot area, and a greenhouse and some grass, and, you know, an area where they can do some outdoors sort of hands-on, focused, place-based education, but took a tour with Susie Osborne, who's the co-founder of the school, to get an idea of what it was like to get that ready in under 2 months for the kids to get into school.
You got to see the before and after. It's like we replaced this whole wall, the whole side. It was completely termite infested, all the windows. And then literally the thing was so termite infested you could put your hands through it. So we've just done a complete and total, like gutters. This, we haven't got it all painted yet, but the roof is almost there. Anyway, it's cherry and the big yard in the back. So I love this space. So yeah, this whole thing is ours. So it's really nice. I mean, because it's really safe for the kids, you know, the buses coming in and dropping off. And I like that it's all a courtyard like this, just to energetically, but there's nice sort of spaces, teaching outdoor spaces. So, yeah, it's really good.
So a majority of the students, maybe 150 or so, are elementary age. So this school is sort of their main campus. The kids come in by bus. So a lot of these students lived in the Puna area, which is about an hour or more away in time, commute time. And so they bus in to this area and sort of hold their high schoolers included. And then the high schoolers get on another bus and go to another campus. So part of this is trying to figure out essentially how to get everyone back together, because I think there's about 60 high school students. They've got a dozen or so preschoolers that are still in Nanavale. The high school students are up at the Hilo Boys and Girls Club, but that's temporary and only for this year. So figuring out how to do that has become an even bigger burden because of, as many people know, facility funding when it comes to charter schools is something that is completely left to the charter school itself. They don't receive that funding. So the way it's set up, the nonprofits that come out of that are based on or that sort of help to run this school will have to raise that money or get the loans or finance for some facility. So Susie was saying when it came to this lava inundation, figuring out how to work with having really no money to move forward, this is what she's going through right now.
Now, when the lava came, first of all, there's no disaster relief money in the budget, so that was an issue. Then when FEMA, everybody's like, the legislators, well, FEMA will take care of it. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that the nonprofits are considered non-essential. Even though the school is utilizing the facilities and they exist for the school, because the nonprofit is technically the owner, FEMA doesn't recognize that, and all they'll do is give a rent differential. So there's no support from FEMA, contrary to what the legislators are saying. And there's and there's no funding for facilities, and there's no emergency budget. So it's very challenging.
So this is interesting because all these charter schools across the state already face these challenges of figuring out how to deal with facilities. When you add in this sort of monk wrench in there, it's hard for them to try to figure out how to get everybody back together.
Right, because with FEMA, well, I understand the money goes to replace what you had there before. You would think it would go through the DOE. and be considered a school, but because of that whole facilities thing in charter schools.
It's just the charter school system specifically is what Osborne was saying. She did go and talk before the Commission of Public Charter Schools to try to, you know, they are aware of the sort of very unique situation that Kuokala is in. And trying to figure that out has kind of been what she's been going through this entire year, on top of sort of keeping the students. A lot of these students have gone through losing their homes themselves and figuring out how
That's true. Very dramatic for that community.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. To keep them focused. So right now she's trying to figure out where to put the high schoolers. That's kind of the biggest. They've got the Nanimal Gardens for elementary school for a while now. So she's trying to figure out how to get those 60 students somewhere permanent or more permanent for next year. But she's finding it a little difficult to work with some of the permitting going around that. And she kind of explains that here.
Even if I can find a permanent campus, the permit process with the county, even though I'm working closely with them and they've been super supportive and wonderful, it's challenging because all they can do is expedite permitting process. They can't circumvent. So things like if you're on an ag property, which we really need space because we have a strong forestry and agriculture. And so then you need a special use permit if you're going to have a school in ag zone. So there's all these sort of issues that are distal to my control, but that I'm mandated for compliance and obviously safety first, you know, for sure.
It's a real kind of catch-22, isn't it?
It is, and it's rough because Susie also lost her home in this. And so there's a lot of sort of compounding problems. But in visiting the school, the kids are happy. They are still focused on education. She's very much focused on the students. So I think that community support around this is really going to help them get through.
Right. So thank goodness for that during the season, to be thankful for our many blessings, right?
Exactly.
But I guess we just have to pray about the solution, the long-term solution.
Exactly. I think the long-term solution is definitely being highlighted when it comes to the facility funding issue for charter schools. This case in point will be one of those that we'll keep our eye on.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Kuvehi. That was reporter Kuvehi Hiraishi with the latest on recovery efforts on a Big Island charter school following lava inundation. You can find her stories about the Puna eruption online at hawaiipublicradio.org.